by transcription.
Spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The eternal light.
National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Maimonides, was written by Joseph Mindell.
In the year 1190, I, Judah ben Jacob, came to study with the Master. He lived in Cairo, in the land where Moses lived, and his name was Moses Maimonides. And it was said of him that from Moses unto Moses there arose not one like unto Moses. It may be that you have read the books that Moses ben Maimon wrote, and it may be that you understand them with the special understanding that comes with the passing of 800 years. But I knew him. If I say that he was a philosopher, you must not think that he looked at the world from a secluded place or lived a life of quiet contemplation. Scholars called him master, but the Jewish community of Cairo claimed him too and called him rabbi. And when the Sultan Al-Akbal, to whom he was physician in ordinary, called...
Moses! Moses ben Maimon!
When the Sultan called, Maimonides had to be there.
I am here, Your Majesty.
You took your time about coming here. I lie sick. And
I hurried as quickly as I could.
You no doubt stopped to discuss a point of philosophy with my chamberlain.
But no, I...
Moses, I pay you to be a physician, not a philosopher.
Your Majesty, what is a philosopher but a man who tries to think clearly?
Thinking is a dangerous luxury. I don't want my people to think.
No?
Let them pray to Allah, pay their taxes.
Then you would be king over beasts. Not men.
Moses ben Maimon, you presume on my good nature.
I am grateful for your good nature, Your Majesty.
You should be.
Still, what I said is true.
Enough! Discuss philosophy with my chamberlain. Only don't be late.
It was not philosophy that made me late. It was your youngest wife's second son.
Ooh.
With a diseased tooth.
Ooh.
You're in pain, Your Majesty.
Heartburn. Terrible heartburn all morning.
Well, you could have called Ibn Jumai to treat it.
I did. He gave me a medicine.
You didn't take it?
Without consulting you first. Here it is. Can you tell what it is?
It's a good medicine, Your Majesty, but...
But, never a simple answer. Will it cure my heartburn or not?
Maybe it will, but yesterday you had an unbearable headache. And the day before, a ringing in the ears. And last week, nightmares. What will it be tomorrow?
You are an old man, Moses ben Maimon. And people say a wise man. Wiser than I, no doubt. But I am not a fool. You are saying that the pain I feel is an illusion.
No, Your Majesty, to think that it can be cured by medicine, that is the illusion.
Talk plainly, Moses, like a physician.
The soul and the body are not separate. Sometimes pain can be cured only by treating the soul.
What would you have me do?
Give up the pursuit of idle pleasures, too much food, too little sleep, no exercise. Live a useful life with a worthy purpose.
I see. Moses? It is good advice.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
But in the meantime, give me a medicine for heartburn.
Moses. I've been waiting here in your house for 3 hours.
Be patient. I will treat all of you. Only be patient.
Joseph, you have a fever. Not serious. I'll give you a medicine.
Rabbi Moses, I have no money.
Did I ask you for any?
I can't pay you for the medicine.
I see. Maybe next time you'll try not to get sick till you have money.
Rabbi Moses, I...
Take the medicine, Joseph, and don't worry. Who's next?
I am. I'm next, Rabbi Moses.
Let me through. I must talk to Rabbi Moses. Out of my way.
It's my arm, Rabbi. I can't bend.
Let me through, I tell you.
Well, Judah ben Jacob, are you sick?
It's you who will be sick, Master. Send these people away.
I can't. They need help.
Go home, everybody. Can't you see that he's tired?
No, Judah.
Oh, think of yourself. Have you eaten anything today?
Eaten? Yes. Yes, I had something when I came to the Sultan's palace. Judah, you don't have to be concerned about me.
Then I will think of myself. I came to study with you, but I haven't been able to talk with you for 3 days.
It's true, Judah. But the Sabbath is coming. Then we'll talk.
I have things to say now.
Rabbi, my arm. I can't bend it.
You see, Judah, sickness doesn't wait for the Sabbath.
Now I will say what is necessary, Master. And you will not stop me.
Your voice is harsh, Judah. Today's the Sabbath.
I know. And I have waited long enough.
Let me ask you a question. How long did the creation take?
I am not a boy in school.
Still, tell me.
In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth.
Yet it is written in Genesis, on the seventh day God finished his work. Must we not conclude that the universe was incomplete on the sixth day?
It would seem so.
Then what was created on the seventh day? I will tell you. Menucha.
Menucha. Rest.
More than rest, Judah. Tranquility, serenity, peace, repose. Today is the Sabbath, Judah. Let us talk with serenity and peace.
Forgive me, Master.
There's no need. Tell me what you wanted to say.
Well, only one thing. There are many physicians, but there's only one Moses ben Maimon. Oh.
The Sultan wouldn't like what you're suggesting.
Well, let others cure pain and sickness. You must teach your people.
Judah, a man who suffers pain or hunger or sickness cannot learn.
Well, you know what I mean. You don't have to work so long and so hard.
Can I say I'm a great man and work is beneath my dignity?
A scholar needs quiet and time for contemplation.
Judah, here is our world. Here is our home into which we have been placed and of which each man is himself a portion. A man who withdraws himself from it cannot be a scholar. Judah, he cannot even be a man.
Moses ben Maimon lived in a busy and crowded world, and yet found the time to write on astronomy, medicine, logic, law, and philosophy. And I, Judah ben Jacob, who had come from my own country to study with him, I marveled at his peace and grew restless and impatient at the tasks he set me.
You're troubled, Judah.
Rabbi, I don't want to be an astronomer or a physician.
You don't have to be.
I am not interested in the positions of the stars and diseases of the bones.
No? Then what do you want?
I want to study the writings of the rabbis, not Aristotle.
We must accept truth, wherever we find it.
Master, I came to study the truth of the Torah, the words of the Lord.
How will you understand his words if you have no knowledge of his works?
You do not say that to Joseph, to the others.
I'm not talking to them.
You do not test their love of God with logic and astronomy.
There are degrees of love and understanding. I do not expect of Joseph what he's not capable of giving. I do not expect him to approach God through reason.
Do not ask it of me, Master.
You're afraid, Judah. Why are you afraid?
Reason is questioning and doubting.
No. Reason leads to knowledge, and knowledge to love. Judah, you don't have to be afraid.
I brought you the money for the medicine, Rabbi Moses.
Oh, it wasn't necessary, Joseph.
Please take it.
Let it be my present for your wedding next week.
Well, haven't you heard? It's been postponed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your families have quarreled?
Oh, no, it's nothing like that, Rabbi Moses. The time wasn't propitious.
What do you mean, Joseph?
It's a simple calculation by astrology. You see, I was born under the sign of the ram.
Joseph, astrology is superstition.
Rabbi Moses, you know I'm an ignorant man.
No one is too ignorant to learn.
I try. I look at things and I can see, everybody can see how some days are lucky and others unlucky. How some men prosper and others not, as the stars change in the sky.
The earth is a speck of dust in the universe. And man is a mote on the dust. Do the stars lean down to shape man's destiny?
Yet God made man and placed the stars over him.
To light the sky, not to determine man's fate. Listen to me, Joseph. The laws of God are clear and reasonable.
I thought you were talking about astrology.
I am. Astrology, all superstition, puts mysterious magic powers in the place of God's truth.
I don't know how to answer you. Strange things happen to people.
Joseph, a man's fate depends on how he lives.
Must be so if you say it, Rabbi.
It is written in the Torah, there shall not be found among you one that useth divination, a soothsayer, or an enchanter. Still, you will postpone your wedding, because the signs of the zodiac are not favorable.
I can't explain it well, but if you're right, God will understand what I do. And if you're not, if the stars do have meaning, then it's safer this way.
Joseph, safety is not in the stars, but in yourself.
Today we will discuss philosophy, Moses.
As you wish, Your Majesty.
Tell me, what is the duty that a man owes to the king of the land in which he lives? Why don't you answer me?
You have not come to the question you wish to discuss.
You might have been a little more diplomatic.
Your Majesty, when we talk as philosophers, diplomacy is irrelevant.
Maybe you're right. Moses Ben Maimon, it has been brought to my attention that you have been talking heresy.
Whatever I have said has been to my own people about our own faith.
You're quibbling, Moses. You know very well that not only Jews read your writings.
I have written nothing against the faith of Islam.
Of course not, but you raise questions and bring new ideas.
It may seem so, but every part of what I say can be found in the Jewish tradition.
Moses, I am on the verge of losing an argument. We will stop discussing philosophy.
Yes, Your Majesty.
A man as wise as you needs no further explanation, no warning. Well?
Your Majesty must know that I left Spain where I was born, that I came to Morocco and left Morocco.
You could have stayed. You could have adopted the faith of Islam.
Could I?
No. No, I suppose you couldn't. Instead, you came here to Egypt.
Which has been tolerant of people of a different faith?
Moses, there is a limit to tolerance.
No, Your Majesty. Either tolerance exists or it does not. There are no degrees and no limits.
Then I will say it another way. There is a point beyond which it is safer not to speak.
There is so much concern for safety.
It's only natural, isn't it, Moses?
I do not think so.
Of course it is. Life is a dangerous business.
Your Majesty, only for those who are afraid.
To be a Jew in the Arab lands was to live on the thin edge of sufferance. To be Moses Ben Maimon was infinitely more difficult, for to speak was to risk offending the state, and to be silent was to deny the truth. There was another difficulty. One day, as some of us were talking, Maimonides joined us.
Don't let me interrupt your discussion.
Please go on.
Joseph, you look guilty as if you were plotting a conspiracy.
Oh, no, Rabbi.
What's the matter with all of you? What is it, Judah?
We were talking about how to answer a letter.
Does it take so many grown men to answer one letter? From whom is it?
It is from Joseph's cousin in France. Read it, Master.
No, Judah, don't let him see it.
It's no use, Joseph. He'll hear it sooner or later.
From what terrible news are you shielding me?
Read the letter.
My dear cousin Joseph, I hope this letter finds you in good health. Your fever's completely gone, isn't it, Joseph?
Yes.
My wife asks me to inform your wife that she... Rabbi Nathan has been talking about your Rabbi Moses, who he says has been playing courtier to the Sultan in hope of royal favor.
No one believes it, Rabbi. No one.
Rabbi Nathan believes it, Joseph. As if this were not enough, he says Rabbi Moses' writings are full of heresies and violations of the ancient traditions of our people. I think I've read enough.
We must compose an answer to send to the congregation of Paris.
Why, Judah?
Why? Because the letter demands an answer.
What is to be gained from a war of words with Rabbi Nathan?
But he has spread accusations and lies against you.
Judah, if I were to become upset and bitter whenever someone disagreed with me or called me names, I would spend all my days in grief.
Don't you want people to know what you are saying?
I want people to debate my ideas, not my character. Don't answer the letter.
Don't you see? For every intelligent man who reads your books, 1,000 fools will hear the lies and believe them.
Then, Judah, I would rather pay no notice to 1,000 and teach a truth to one man who will understand.
How could I know all that was in his mind? But I was disturbed by the accusations. And then Maimonides spoke, and I was comforted. I returned to his house to sit with him once more at the table before the open books. And sometimes, for an instant, I would see the world's pain in his eyes before he closed them and lowered his head between his hands. And then I would wonder, who will comfort Moses ben Maimon? In the spring of the year, Rabbi Nathan came from France to confront Maimonides.
I'm happy to see you, Rabbi Nathan.
Moses ben Maimon, I have not come to exchange greetings.
Nevertheless, you're welcome.
I cannot let your writings go unchallenged. In the first place, there are errors.
I have never claimed to be infallible, especially...
Furthermore, you do not anywhere indicate the sources or authorities you used.
I was not writing for scholars.
But these are not the most serious objections.
Rabbi Nathan, why am I needed here?
I ask your pardon, Rabbi Moses.
I am interested not in defending myself, but only in truth.
Then you should know where to look for it, in the Holy Torah.
I have looked.
You have distorted truth into heresy. You have denied the words of the prophet who saw God and heard his voice.
Rabbi Nathan, a prophet is no more than a man.
There. That's what I mean.
A man inspired by God, but speaking to men. How shall he describe his knowledge except in the language of man, which is not the language of God?
You cannot speak without falling into heresy.
What I say has been said before.
By other heretics.
No. In the Talmud, which says that the Torah speaks in the language of man. Rabbi Nathan, when Ezekiel said the heavens were opened, does it mean that heaven has a door or a gate? When he said the hand of the Lord came there upon me, are we to take the literal meaning?
There is no choice, Rabbi Moses. The meaning is exactly what Ezekiel said.
You harden your understanding against me. How do you mean it when you speak of the mouth of a river? And exactly what are you doing when you so vigilantly keep an eye on me?
You are trying to confuse me by playing with words.
Rabbi Nathan, Scripture speaks in the language of metaphor. The words of the prophets are filled with beauty and poetry. If you take these away, what is left?
It is not for you to question.
I will question and question until I reach the limits of reason. Reason is a way to knowledge.
Man does not need knowledge. Only fear of God.
Love of God, Rabbi Nathan. And love of man. And both of these can come through knowledge.
I listened to the accusations. The next day I sat before my books, my eyes open but unseeing. And I thought of Moses ben Maimon. Then I tied the books and wrapped them in a cloth to carry on my shoulder and came to speak to my teacher.
There is much to talk about, Judah.
No, Rabbi Moses. I'm going home to my own country. Didn't you hear me?
Don't go, Judah.
I came freely to study with you. I'm free to leave.
Stay here. We will study together.
I have learned all I need to learn.
From Rabbi Nathan?
Yes. Yes, in a way, from Rabbi Nathan. He helped me to see what the world is like.
Rabbi Nathan is not the world.
He made me see what the world has done to you, how it has directed against you, you of all men, envy and hatred and lies and intolerance.
I do not complain. Why should you?
Because you have taught me well. Because I can count on the fingers of my hands the good and the evil and say that the world is evil. Therefore, I must leave before reason makes me also say that God created the world in vain.
And this is what I have taught?
It's what I have learned from you. To seek knowledge through the pursuit of reason.
Reason must be used with a sense of fitness and proportion.
But you cannot deny evil. I see it wherever I look.
It is easy to see. Look again. Not only with counting fingers and a reasoning mind, but with an eager soul as well. Don't you see? Despite the evil, there is so much love and beauty and goodness.
Now let me be, Rabbi Moses, let me be.
You're afraid, Judah. You're still afraid.
When I walk away from God, I am afraid.
You are free to choose the direction in which you walk.
I am choosing. Rabbi Moses, I want to believe in God's kindness and mercy. I don't want a philosophy that teaches me to accept evil.
Judah, evil is not a problem in philosophy, a question to be answered. Evil is something to be overcome.
Teach me. Teach me how, Rabbi Moses.
It's not far to seek for you or any man who will live his life according to reason and knowledge which begets the love of God. As in the vision of Isaiah, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters cover the sea, so shall the earth be full of the knowledge of the Lord.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Edwin L. Weisel, outstanding civic leader and philanthropist. Mr. Weisel.
The story that we have just heard depicted the life and ideas of Maimonides, a figure of international and timeless renown. Famed for his contributions in the field of law, science, philosophy, and religion, his works alone assure an enduring basis for his fame. However, his full contribution, especially to our time, must also be measured in the lesson of his own life. He affirmed throughout his life the principle that a reasoning and inquiring mind was never a danger to society. The search for truth, which motivated his efforts in religion and science, was never abandoned for the sake of expediency or personal safety. Maimonides was forced to flee many countries and lived a good part of his life in exile because of his refusal to compromise his religion or the right of a free mind to question the infallibility of the state. He realized, however, the tremendously significant factor that intellectual inquiry must be founded upon faith and rooted in a solid tradition. One of the greatest codifiers and interpreters of the Jewish law, he was criticized in his own time for his attempts to understand and rationally approach the basic values which his religion taught. Yet how great a test of the faith and strength of Maimonides' beliefs was his strict adherence to his religion in the midst of an alien culture which forbade many Jewish doctrines and practices. Maimonides teaches us today, as he taught his own pupils in the 12th century, by his living example, that faith is not blind submission and that honest inquiry does not destroy the subject of the inquiry. At a time when our fundamental beliefs are being challenged daily, it is well to remember that we need not retreat through fear into blindness to truth. As intelligent, thinking citizens, we can only solve our problems or achieve a positive approach to the values which we would defend by resolutely continuing the eternal search for truth.
Thank you, Mr. Weisel. Drama today, Maimonides, was written by Joseph Mindell. It was based upon the book The Legacy of Maimonides by Dr. Ben Zion Boxer, rabbi of the Forest Hills Jewish Center. Roger DeCoven was featured as Maimonides and Norman Rose as Judah. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction and music was selected by Marion Kilgore. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is William McCord speaking. Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
The preceding program was transcribed. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.